Before Antoine Fisher's story became a movie, it was an excuse. About 9 years ago, Fisher was working as a security guard at a movie studio. He wanted to go home to Cleveland to see his foster family, and since he had never met his real mother and father, he also wanted to find the family he never knew. To convince his boss of the importance of the trip, he told the whole traumatic tale. That story made its way to studio executives as if it had been a pitch. It changed Antoine Fisher's life, a life that up to that point had been scarred by an abusive foster mother.
For a long time, I didn't realize I was being abused because, when you're born and you come into the world and you come into a knowledge of yourself, and it's always been happening, even though you don't like it, you don't realize that everybody's not experiencing it, because I was watching my brother go through it, my foster brother. And in fact, they treated him worse than they treated me. I didn't realize I was being abused. I thought he was the one that was getting the worst. Well, he was getting the worst of it.
How old were you when you figured out, when you started, I guess, to spend time in your friends' homes and sort of saw the outside world and realized that something was very wrong?
I think it was about 7. At around 7, I was able to just walk outside and, you know, you find other kids on your street to play with, and you realize that their lives are different than yours.
In the movie, the young man is told, the child is told, you ain't nothing, you're never going to be nothing, because you come from nothing. Were you actually told that?
Yes, many times. Like a song, it was.
What kept you going? I mean, I get the sense that it was almost like you had some sort of inner compass.
I didn't want her to be right about me. You know, when you're a kid and you have a parent, you know, she was the only parent I knew. So, you know, you want to please her. So I was desperate to please her. But, you know, there was no pleasing her. But I never wanted what she said about me to be true. So every time it looked like I was going to fail at something or she was going to be right about me, like an alarm would go off inside me, and I would try desperately to correct whatever was going wrong.
When they told you that they wanted to turn your story into a film, did you insist that you actually keep some control over that story?
I didn't say control. I just kept insisting that I should be the one to write it.
Why was that so important to you?
Because I was afraid to let someone else do it. Because it was so personal and it was like so painful. You know, when you put it in someone else's hands, it's really hard.
But you had never written a screenplay before. How did you know that you could pull this off?
You know, over the course of my time in the Navy, I discovered there was a lot of things that I could do that I didn't initially think I could. So I didn't think that writing was that difficult. It took me about 8 months, and during the course of that, there were many drafts. Some people go to college and for 4 years and learn to write screenplays. I did it in like maybe 40 drafts.
When they questioned your ability to write this screenplay, did that motivate you? It sounds like it's almost like your foster parents telling you that you can't do something and you wanted so badly to go out and prove to them that you could.
Right. The fact that they were telling me that I couldn't do it, like I didn't have, I mean, it came across to me that they were saying I didn't have the aptitude to do it. And so I was more determined to do it because they told me that I couldn't.
When did you find out that Denzel Washington was going to be a part of this process?
About 4 years after I wrote it, the producer, Todd Black, called me and told me that Denzel wanted to have a lunch with me.
That's not a call you get every day.
No. Anyway, I went and had lunch with him, and he and I spoke for a couple of hours, and he asked me if I wanted him to direct the screenplay. I told him yes. Right.
This was a long birthing process for you. From the time you wrote the screenplay to the premiere was, what, about 9 years?
9 years, yes.
Did you lose your patience at all during that time?
No. You know, I continued to write screenplays and work for the studios. And so I was always busy, and I was always optimistic that it would happen. It's a part of how I was able to survive, being an optimist.
Is that how you describe yourself, as an optimist?
Yes.
Even given all that's happened to you.
Yes.
Were you always an optimist, or was it through, I guess, your work with the psychiatrist while you were in the Navy, did you become an optimist over time?
No, I think I was always an optimist. Even as a kid, imagining all those things that would make my life different, I was being optimistic then.
And yet you carried with you this very deep-seated anger, this almost uncontrollable rage.
It wasn't always that way. It grew. I think that after I left, or I was put out of the foster home, I started realizing how angry I was becoming, because I was really confused. Most of it was caused by the confusion and rejection, and I could feel it myself becoming different. And I always considered most people to be out to get me, so I was always looking out for them.
Were you at all concerned that Hollywood might focus on the wrong things, or focus more on the pain and less on the triumph?
No, I think the pain was important to focus on. The triumph is easy, but, you know, getting through the painful parts is the good thing. I mean, it's what makes it important, being honest, and the honesty is painful.
There are a lot of firsts in this movie. This is your first screenplay. This is Denzel Washington's directorial debut. And the young man who plays you in the film, Derek Luke, this is his first film as well.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Luke worked on the Sony lot as well.
Yes.
Where did he work?
He worked in Sony's gift shop, the Studio Emporium.
Did I hear correctly that you just happened to be there with him the day that he found out that he got that part?
Yes, I saw a shirt that I wanted to buy like a week before, and so I came back to get it, and he was working. And, you know, every time I come to the store, we'd always talk. I saw Denzel and Todd walking toward us, and Denzel broke away from Todd and walked past me and approached Derek and said, "Hey, Antoine." And Derek said, "Oh, yeah, I'm working on it." And Denzel said, "Well, you got the part. You are Antoine." And Derek, you know, Denzel had to hold him up. You know, he was knees were knocking, and he was like hanging on. You know, it was funny in a way, but it was really good. You know, because I had gotten the same type of opportunity. Someone who didn't know me, and I was just on the lot, and out of nowhere, I got an opportunity to change my life.
There are almost 2 million children in America in foster care today. What do you want people to take from this film?
Well, one of the things, you know, like, foster kids are not like damaged people. Like all children, you know, in the beginning of life, you don't have any information, and you need someone to help you, like help program you, you know, for adulthood. But when you're moved around and people are mistreating you, you don't get a chance to get programmed, you know, properly. And so I want, you know, people to know that, you know, I was one of those children, and I made it and grew up to be able to contribute to society, and that there could possibly be more, and people could do, you know, better things than I've done and have something more profound to say than I have. If they could just get a chance.
Antoine Fisher, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Screenwriter Antoine Fisher. His story is told in a new film directed and starring Denzel Washington. It is simply called Antoine Fisher.